Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:15 British Summer Time. Today is August 19th. Well, today we had the majority of markets follow through in Europe and in the US from Asia's really quite positive tone. But then they gave it all up and closed down on the day following the Purchasing Managers Index report, which came in below expectations. So very much a day of two halves, where in Asia you had the Nikkei up by over 1%. The Chinese market was relatively unchanged, as was Australia, but India broke upwards to new recovery highs. Another very positive day in Malaysia, the Philippines, and Thailand. Indonesia also pushed upwards to new high ground, as did Sri Lanka. So the leaders in Asia continue to do extraordinarily well against a background which has a great deal of uncertainty surrounding it, particularly with the USA and much of Europe. Into the European session, the vast majority of indices were in positive territory in the first half of the day, but just about all of them closed down in excess of 1%, and the CAC in France and the Italian index were both down over 2%. The Brazilian market was also down by about 1%, and the today's move was well, we didn't see the market close on the lower side of its range. It did recover a little bit into the last 45 minutes of trading, but it still qualifies as a downward dynamic in the context of the short-term range or the 3-month range that we've had. And with the Dow Jones encountering resistance in the region of 10,500 and the S&P in the region of 1,100, they really do need to get above those levels now to really suggest that demand has regained the upper hand. And we remain in this volatile situation where markets have pulled back over the last couple of months from the April highs. They've been ranging in the region of their 200-day moving average, and they really do need to get back above their most recent highs to suggest that the medium-term uptrend is about to is going to be reasserted in the next few months. We continue to look like it's the most likely prognosis is going to be additional ranging. One thing I do notice is that the number of extraordinarily bearish reports, and when I say bearish, I mean the bearish to the extent that that they are starting to talk about the utter collapse of the financial system, has increased really quite considerably. I had three individual reports cross my desk today, and that's generally a contrary indicator. And it's not hard to imagine why people are getting so extraordinarily bearish with these government bond yields getting to really quite extraordinary levels. The German 30-year Bund hit a multi-year low. That's the yield, hit a multi-year low in here today. So they're certainly not worried about deflation in Germany. And the US 2-year continues to trend lower, and it's at all-time new lows in here today in the region of about half of 1%, perhaps a little bit lower than that. The US 10-year continues to accelerate lower, and while it still has a way to go before it gets right down to those panicky levels seen in early 2009, there's nothing has happened just yet to really indicate that it isn't going to go down and test those levels. What really would be needed is a clear upward dynamic on the yield or a clear downward dynamic on the price, and we haven't seen that yet. The 30-year US Treasury price went up and had a look at 135 in here today, and if my memory serves, the high is back last year was over 140. So while the market is accelerating higher and getting increasingly overextended relative to its moving average, that by definition suggests that we're closer to the next reversionary process. It suggests that initiating new long positions at this juncture is a risky business. One would certainly want to employ a trailing stop tactic if one were attempting to protect profits, and it is now really only a matter of time before we get the next reversion to the mean. In other words, The US Treasury market is and indeed gilts and bunds and JGBs and the Canadian bonds, Swiss bonds, Australian bonds. The commonality across the sector is really quite amazing. Provided that remains intact, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But as I said, it is becoming an increasingly risky trade, and we're being set up for the next at least reversionary move, if not multi-month or indeed year pullback in some of these government bond prices, because they are becoming really quite overextended in this acceleration. So they're worth watching on pretty much a daily basis for that first clear downward dynamic, and it'll be an even better signal if we see it across a large number of markets in one go. In the commodity markets, they pretty much took their tone from stock markets in here today, and industrial metals were all a little bit softer, but not by any great extent, and certainly not down by the same magnitude as some of the stock markets were. Gold was a little bit positive. It was up, I think, about $7 at one point, but paired that gained and finished up the day on the day about $2. Oil was weaker by just over $1 and fell down below the $75 level. It still has that progression of higher reaction lows, and it has certainly paused in the region of the $75 level, but it will need to sustain a move above it to really suggest that it is, or confirm that it is, going to hold that progression of higher reaction lows and rally from this area. Natural gas was also a little bit softer in here today, down 7 cents to 416, so continuing to break down from that little range that it had been putting in the previous couple of weeks. Lumber, among the industrial commodities, is getting back to an interesting level. It's been perhaps the continuation chart is a little bit misleading because it has that step off to representing the contango. But on the individual contract, it's pretty much been ranging for the last month to 6 weeks between $200 and $220. It was up four today at $217.30. So it's back up to the upper side of the range. When we do eventually see it sustain a break above the 220 level, well then, that really will be a clear signal that demand has regained the upper hand, and it will be that will likely give quite a boost to some of these lumber shares that are more leveraged to the lumber price. Of course, there are a number of the larger ones which have, I suppose, in energy parlance, they are upstream and downstream, and all the way through into paper production, such as potlatch, which have done extraordinarily well, regardless of what the lumber price has done. And a number of those shares, such as Plum Creek, I think, also have really quite competitive yields. In the soft commodities sector, soybeans was weaker by about 18 cents, so that's a little bit larger pullback than we've seen over the last couple of weeks, but it still remains really quite a consistent uptrend. And it would need a bigger hit than that to really start to question potential for it to be able to sustain an upward break. Corn was relatively unchanged in here today, although off its highs. And wheat had a pretty firm day, although it closed off the high of the day. It did sustain about half of the gain, so back above the $700 level on the front month contract, which is rather positive action. But it really will need to hold in this region to offset scope for a little bit further unwinding of what had become really quite an overextended position. And rough rice also finished off its highs in here today to be relatively unchanged. So the stock, well, the commodities are certainly taking their tone from stock markets in here, and we're still very much in this risk on risk off type of environment. And this continuing rally in stock in government bond prices hasn't fed through into very much of a rally for the dollar, which was relatively unchanged in here today. And gold, while it's been churning out positive moves just about every day this week and last, and coming up to the, it's at 12:31 in here today. So we are seeing that these Safe havens are doing reasonably well in here, and certainly being led by U.S. Treasuries and sovereign bonds generally. They're certainly sucking away attention from stock markets, and stock markets, particularly in the USA and in Europe, are having a pretty tough time of it over the last couple of months. And certainly, there's a large degree of anxiety among investors. But we continue to see that the emerging market, well, the so-called emerging markets, or I suppose what we prefer to call the progressing markets in Asia and Latin America, are continuing to post new highs. They're either in proximity of their pre-crisis highs, or they're breaking upwards to new high ground. They don't have the problem of deleveraging. There's absolutely no threat of deflation in those markets, rather the opposite. And that really does help to highlight the two-tier economy or global economy that we have out there right now. And it's not too difficult to guess or to estimate where the better returns are going to be. I suppose if you think of it as all of us want to shoot fish in a barrel, there's plenty of opportunities to do just that in the USA and Europe in the export sectors, but there's a lot more fish, in which case we have a lot better chance of hitting one if we look at some of those emerging markets where they are leading the world in terms of GDP growth, and they have massive populations that are just hitting their most productive age range, and they probably are going to be driving GDP growth globally for a significant period to come, and that will well, that has already led to significant investment opportunities, and that is likely to continue for a long time to come. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I wish all the best to all of you.